Galatians, sorry. That's what happens when you reuse old notes. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Galatians chapter 6. So we do celebrate this 4th of July, and we live in a great nation, one of the greatest nation on earth, I believe, and I'm proud to say that. I'm not ashamed. I don't feel bad about it, because I don't look upon this nation as being great because of us. It's great because of the God that we depended upon when we founded it. It's been a force for good in this world since its beginnings. And yes, it had its problems when it started. And we've had problems down through the years, for sure. We've made mistakes. We've done things wrongly in the past, haven't we? We're not a perfect nation. But in the same way that every country, every nation, every people group in the world has, every nation has had their goods and their bads, their successes and their failures. And we're no different in that regard, are we? This nation is still based upon a common denominator, and that is it's populated by people, right? Yeah. But it was founded by a people who were, even at its beginnings, as people began to come here, they came pursuing the ability to walk out, live out their faith as they saw in God's Word. They were a people who were pursuing and were deeply influenced by the Word of God and by their faith. Not all of them were Christians. You look back, and not all of our founding fathers were Christians. This was not a theocracy that this country was born out of. It was not created to be a Christian nation. But it was formed by a vast majority of people who were deeply influenced by the Christian faith. Even the non-Christians were deeply influenced by its faith. And that's where we get the Declaration of Independence that says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." And it's still like that. It may not feel like that sometimes, that the governed, that's us, are the ones that hold the strings for the governors, the ones who lead us, but it is still the way our country was designed. If we're drifting from that, it's our responsibility to bring it back, isn't it? But many worked and sacrificed and served and died to achieve the end that is this nation. That verse, "so that all men are created equal," one of the things that was a blemish on our nation was slavery in our early stages. But as it was all over the world was in a place of wrestling with this curse that we had brought upon ourselves of slavery. And the United States, very shortly after we became a nation, began to abolish it state by state. And it took 100 years, but we were in the process, just like the rest of the world was in the process of saying, this is not right. Because we were a new nation, we were behind in timing-wise the rest of the world, but we began to pursue that and abolish that. And, of course, that culminated in the Civil War, which almost divided and destroyed our nation. But ultimately, through the leadership of a great president, one of my favorites, Abraham Lincoln, and people who, many of them Christian, most of them Christian people who pursued the abolition of slavery. Women's rights was something that, again, we pursued over time as the whole world was pursuing that. Missionary zeal, our nation sent out because of our strong faith, missionaries around the world, and colleges and education was brought to places that would never have received it otherwise. Hospitals were built in places that would have never received a hospital but for the missionaries who said, I will go and I'm going to begin this work to try to help and bless these people. Just in the last few decades, more than half of all the Nobel Prizes in medicine, engineering, and science came from the United States of America, where we were, our American ingenuity was bringing help and blessing and improvements and cures and inventions to the whole world. I was looking at something about the, you know, as you hear a lot about the difference between the, you know, the 1% and the, you know, there's a greater divide of income equality in our world. But it's interesting when you look at it in comparison. This information came from the, Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, an organization that promotes policies that will improve the economic and social well-being of people around the world. So I'm not sure who they are affiliated with, but if you look at it, here's the United States up at top, and of course, our top 10% is the orange dot. The blue dot is the bottom 10% of the population. Of course, we're right up there as one of the richest nations in the world. But if you look at the bottom 10%, it is, well, Canada has a better off, but Switzerland, their bottom 10% is worse, and everything under there, the people on the lowest spectrum of the economy in our nation are better off than most other countries in the world. In fact, if you go down, the bottom 10% of our nation are better off than the top 10% in Italy, Israel, Russia, Portugal, Brazil, Turkey, and Mexico. So even our bottom 10% have been blessed just to be a part of this nation. It's interesting thoughts. And as a result, we are the nation of all of these types of things that people turn to when tragedy strikes in the world because of our ingenuity, because of our wealth, whether it's tsunamis that we help with, tyrants that are taking over, terrorists waging war. People look to us to come and help because we've become a great nation in many ways. We celebrate today the harvest of what sowers worked for over 240 years ago. We celebrate that today. And as we talked about during communion, Jesus celebrating, serving, and sacrifice, and those who would sow into something that would grow and maybe be harvested later. And we celebrate what Jesus celebrated still. So we're going to read our verse for today. Let's stand as we read the Word of God and find out, as we celebrate the sower today, what Jesus was celebrating. Let's read today. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. God, help us to learn this principle of sowing and reaping and what it means to you, how deeply this speaks, Lord, into our lives and how we should live, and how important, Jesus, this was to you. So thank you. Thank you for what you're going to teach us today as we learn how more and more to live our lives for you in this day and age. Love you for your word. Holy Spirit, would you speak? Would you do what I can't do and communicate truth that we would take this and be changed by it. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Remember what Jesus said after he taught them about serving. Yeah, you call me Lord and Master, and I am. Now, if you see me do this for you, now you know you're not. Nobody's greater than their master. You do what I've done. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them, right? Peter thought that Jesus' humble service, I think he almost thought it was embarrassing. You shouldn't be washing. No, you're Jesus. You're the Lord. You're the Master. You're the one who raises people from the dead. You're the one who does miracles. You're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for generations. You shouldn't be serving. And Jesus said, oh, you've got it wrong, Peter. I celebrate. I'm on my knees before you, and I'm celebrating this. This is my privilege. This is my calling. I am the suffering servant. Don't you know? And he celebrated the humble, didn't he? Jesus didn't celebrate the grand and the ones who would lord it over them. Jesus said, no, you're not supposed to lord it over people. You're supposed to take the lowest seat, not the highest seat at the party, right? You're supposed to be the one who has no place to lay his head because you don't have a great mansion and lots of money and all the trappings. So as you see me do, you're supposed to go and wash the feet of those who are lower than you. Paul warns and encourages us here at the beginning of this verse in our chapter here. He says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. I like looking sometimes at some of the different translations. God's Word translation did it this way. Make no mistake about this. You can never make a fool out of God. Whatever you plant, what you will harvest. God has a way of doing things, and you're not going to pull one over on God. You ever have somebody try to pull one over on you? They want something, and they kind of pull this angle on you to get what they want, and sometimes we find out about it later, and we go, ah, oh, it totally pulled a fast one on me. Sometimes they're trying to pull this one on us, and we're like, no, I don't think so. Well, that's God all the time. You can't make a fool out of God. His desire is to bless those who serve as he does. That's his desire. I want to bless those who serve like I serve, Jesus says. And you know what? Those that don't, you'll reap what you sow as well. For the one who sows to his flesh, the word says, will from the flesh reap corruption. That word corruption, or the word flesh there, the one who sows to his own flesh, guess what's going to happen to this? You know what it's going to look like in about 200 years? Probably won't even be around unless Jesus comes back. Right? Yeah, my flesh decays. It's corruptible. It's going to fail. It's going to go away one day. Remember what we talked about last couple of weeks? What is seen is what? Temporary. But what is unseen is what? It's eternal, right? When I sow and I put all of my eggs into the flesh, the things that are temporary, I pour all of my energy, my attention, my pleasures are all out of what is temporary. Guess what? It doesn't last. The flesh is what I want. I want, and those things don't last. But the one who sows to the Spirit will, from the Spirit, reap eternal life. The Spirit is, okay, God, what do you want? What do you want for my life? What do you want for me as a father and as a husband? What do you want for me as a worker in this company? What do you want for me in my church and in my community? Because the Spirit's going to lead us towards what is unseen, which is eternal, right? Now, he's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about the fruit that lasts into eternal life, the things that are eternal. Wanting what God wants, caring about the things that God cares about. And he goes on to say, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, that means while you're taking breath, while you're living on this earth, while we have opportunity, let us do good. All people. Which people are those? How about the people you don't like? How about the people you don't agree with? How about the people on the other side of the political aisle? Do good to all people. And especially, he goes on to say, those who are of the household of faith. Who is that? Now, take best care of your family. And you know what happens when we take really good care of each other? When a person that's not a believer in Christ comes in to the church and says, what's this Christianity, Jesus stuff all about? And they see a bunch of people who are always fussing and fighting with each other and getting on each other's nerves and talking about each other behind their backs. And they look and say, gosh, I can't wait. I would love to be a part of this. Right? No, they say, no, I got plenty of that out there. But when they come in and see, those people love each other. Those people care about each other. They got each other's back. When somebody's in trouble, guess what? Somebody was around to help them out. These people are a family. I want to be a part of that. That's what happens when we do good to those, especially of the household of faith. Ultimately, it blesses those who are outside of the household of faith. It attracts them. It attracts them. So don't grow weary, Paul says. Don't lose heart. I know it's discouraging. I know it's hard to do good when things are tough. But in due time, if we don't grow weary and we take advantage of the opportunities, in due time, what's in due time mean? At the right time, who knows the right time for everything? God knows. In due time is in God's time. It's God's time. So persevere. Keep doing good. Don't lose heart. And you will reap. You will reap. It's a simple concept, isn't it? The principle of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. Sow to the Spirit, sow it to eternal things, and you will reap those. Is that just in heaven? It's today. You will reap them here on earth. You will reap them eternally as well. I went for a run. Everybody remember the rain that we had? Wasn't it exciting? We had rain. It was so exciting. I got up and it was pouring rain. I know, it was great. But I went for a run and I said, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go for a run. But it stopped raining and so I went out for a run. And it was raining pretty good. But you know what? I passed one puddle on the sidewalk. There was no puddles on the sidewalk. You know why? Yeah, the ground was just soaking up the water. It was needed. We hadn't had rain in weeks, I think. But you know what? I had to run on some grass in some spots where there's no sidewalk. Do you think I was squooshing into mushy ground? It was still pretty hard. You know why? It needed way more rain than that. It needed a long soaking of rain before that ground was going to turn from hard to soft. It needed rain. Our world is hungry for people to sow into it. It's thirsty for the living water. It's a hard, hard world today. And a splash of water in someone's life from a believer is not going to soften hearts. It's not going to till up the ground of their lives. But the world is hungry and thirsty for it. But God is sending those who would serve, till the ground and plant, and care for these things. We have to be willing. We must be willing to sow. God celebrates the sowers. He celebrates the sowers. We have to be willing. What does that involve to sow? I'm going to give you a quick gardening with all of my great gardening knowledge, which is limited. What do you have to do first when you sow? Just throw out some seeds on whatever? No, first you got to prepare the ground. You got to till up the ground and break up the soil and seek after. There's some places that's just not worth planting a seed because it's just not going to grow if it's all rocks. Some hearts are not ready to hear about God. They're just not ready. So you can throw all the seeds you want on a patch of rocks and it's not going to grow. God has to turn that patch of rocks into a soil that's willing, that wants to grow. But we have to find the ground that can be broken up and prepared for the soil, and that's the hearts of people. We have to love them where they are and show them, you don't have to look like me, act like me, believe like me for me to love you. We have to just start right where people are and love them and let the Holy Spirit begin to prepare the ground of their hearts. And you know what else you need to do with soil? You got to nourish it. Oftentimes, people have to put fertilizer in. What's the best way to get a good crop in your backyard? Throw down some fertilizer. Best thing is cow manure. I'm not talking about that here, though. But something that will nourish the soil. We have to nourish the soil with love, with grace, with doing good deeds, just going the extra mile for people, whether it's going to benefit us or not. We have to nourish that soil that we've broken up. Then we have to take a seed and actually put the seed in there, right? If we do all kinds of wonderful, nice, kind, generous things for people, and we never tell them about Christ, will they ever come to faith in Him? They might become a really nice person like me, but that doesn't save them. They need to hear. We need to plant the seed of the Word of God in their lives. We need to tell them about Jesus. We need to say the name of Jesus in places other than church, right? We really need to do that. And then once we plant the seed of Christ, we need to water it and tend it and can follow up and just continue to love them and encourage them and answer more questions about Christ and about the Word and persevere. How long do we stay with the seed? Until the harvest, right? Until the harvest. So, what does that look like? I'm just going to tell a story about a couple of people. Karen Lohrer is a Girl Scout leader Anybody know that? Jesus. They had a war, an award ceremony here a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday. That room was filled with young girls and parents, and she was just loving on them. And I couldn't, there was a number of them that just had nothing but wonderful things to say, not only about her, but about Mr. Scott, who helps her out, obviously, and doing things. And why is she a Girl Scout leader? So she can be involved in the lives of people, and she can be a witness and a light for Christ out there in the world. And it was a beautiful thing to see her actually having such a great relationship with all these people. None of those go to church. But she was loving on them. She was sowing into their lives, looking forward to a harvest. Her husband, Scott, a couple years ago, he decided he wanted to start a Bible study, and I came alongside him. I attended with him for a year, and he was learning how to lead a Bible study. He hadn't done it before. Half of his group was from people outside of the church that he just invited. The following year, he did it on his own because I was busy the night that they had it. And he's just keeps connecting with people outside of the church that need to know Christ. I said, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Being out there in the world, building relationships with people, looking for ways to better serve Christ. I was excited about Michael's ministry on the piano. Was that beautiful? God's blessed him with a gift. But he could just come and just kind of play. I was thinking, you know, it might be nice to have, earlier in the week, to have something patriotic. I said, Michael, you know, maybe, because we were going to do America the Beautiful, I said, maybe you could do something, you know, more embellish it, something a little more before the service starts. And he says, I was just thinking about doing some sort of a medley for that. And I'm like, well, go for it, you know. So, you know, he's thinking about not just coming and getting his ministry done, but he's like, what, how can I do something more? How can I step it up for the Lord? That's sowing. That's sowing into what's eternal. And Jesus said, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. You'll be blessed if you will sow into what's eternal. The unseen realities will become realities in your life here and for all eternity. And Jesus celebrates it. He rejoices when we are serving and doing the things that he called us an example for us to do. Does anybody have a thought? Just a short thought. Why do you serve the way that you do? When you do what you do to serve in your community or in your church, why do you do that? What is it that calls you to say, there are bigger things here than just what I'm doing? Anybody have a thought to share about that? I'm just kind of throwing it out. I don't know if anybody. Well, I'm going to come down there so everybody can hear you. Bonnie works in our office a couple days a week, often extra times as well.
On Thursday evenings, we have a Bible study where we're studying the book of Revelation. And we were going through the whole thing this past Thursday, and Lisa Tepinski
got called out.
She asked a question, and I answered it, and it made a difference that she could put into her life. You know, the answer was just what she needed to hear, mm-hmm. that she could go back and put it into her life and hopefully make a difference to her teenage son. And that made my day, because I knew that because I was there and I had an answer, that she was able to continue her ministry. And she said, I'm sorry I'm calling you out, but she said that as she gets further into her faith, and I just love hearing that.
Amen.
That somebody's getting further into their faith. That's a blessing.
Wow. Thank you. Great example. Brother Jerry.
I was back there counting, and you said the question was that, why do we serve?
Yeah, what do you...
Why do I do what I do? Well, a long time ago, when I got saved and I became a member here, one of the things I constantly try to get involved in ways to grow my faith, as you said. One of the things it is, I went to Promise Keepers, big men's meeting, prayer, praise, well, great music.
Yep.
But they had a lot of great materials, and one of the things was the 7 Promises of a Promise Keeper, one of my favorite books. And number 5 was A Man and His Church. And one of the things that they talked about in that section is one of the most important things a man can do is support his pastor. And that became my mission statement for serving. A lot of people have always asked me, well, why did you get involved in being a treasurer? And, the story was pretty simple. We had the treasurer before me was having health issues, and I was already on the board serving as the head trustee. And so she said she was backing down, and this was like 2 months before the end of her term. And I remember leaving the board meeting, and it was all over me like a flood. Mm. God was just saying, "You know what your purpose is. Your purpose is to help your pastor, and you know your pastor is going to need this position." And it was all over me for a month. We go to the next board meeting, and I'm saying to myself, "Oh, he's going to have this position filled, and somebody, and blah blah blah." Nobody talked about it. She didn't talk about it. He didn't talk about it. And God tapped me at the shoulder and said, well, you know what to do now. Mm-hmm. Went into Pastor Jim's office and said, you still need somebody for treasure? He goes, yeah, I'm it. First, he looked like the guy who got what he wanted for Christmas. And then he tempered it quickly. He said, do you have any idea what you're getting into? And I said, yeah, but got to do it. And 12 years later, it's been the best thing I've ever done. And it's my ministry's grown there. I'm a treasurer for Pastor Jim for the AWE, as you've heard about. And we're also going to be part of the Metro District Network, which I'm going to be the treasurer for that as well. So the ministry grows, and I'm blessed for it. I'm blessed to be doing something that I'm cut out for. You know, not only, personality-wise, but talent-wise, and I've been very blessed to do it. But the key about the whole thing is you need to back your pastor. And this man right here, Pastor Frank Taubitz, cannot do it all. There's just no way. One of the things of being part of this family and serving is I get a front row seat to see what a pastor has to go through. So this man needs your help. He doesn't have enough help, I'll tell you that right now, and he needs more. And God bless those who are serving, but if you need to find a place, pray, and I hope God puts you in the right place. But this man needs our help, period. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. He serves in more ways than just a treasure and supporting, I'll tell you. I appreciate him more than probably he knows. One more? Oh, Betty.
I'm tired just listening to you talking about planting the garden. I grew up doing that, and there's a lot of work to it. I had to do it. They made me. And then you've got to get the dirt going right and the seeds going right, and then I had to pull the weeds and do all of that stuff and shade the tomato plants and blah, blah, blah. And then when we gathered the food, though, we canned and canned and canned. I lived on the farm. We canned our own food. And so we do reap what we sow. I was thinking about that verse. We reap what we sow. And if we sow to Christ, you'll reap it. Maybe not the way you wanted it, but some other way. God will provide. It may not be what you think, but the Lord will make a way if you do what he said.
Thank you, sister. She serves us in our prayer ministry in many ways through a number of people. Well, I wanted to give you that flavor to hear about what it means to sow into the kingdom, whether it's in the church here or outside in the community. God calls each and every one of us. Michael's going to wrap us up with his medley again as I close in prayer. Let's just have open hearts to say, Lord, send me where you're going to send me. Use me how you want to use me. Again, my life is yours. Show me what you want me to do. And with your grace and your strength, I'll do it. And you will be able to do it with his strength. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for those so much that serve you in so many faithful ways, both in the church and out of the church. God, you are ultimately the reality that we need to focus on. These things of this world are going to pass. But Lord God, in 50, 500, 5,000 years, we're going to care about what lasted. So God, thank you so much for opening our eyes, helping us to understand this simple concept that we reap what we sow, and you want to bless us. Now that we know these things, we'll be blessed if we do them. Thank you, Jesus, for opening our eyes and giving us the grace and strength and humility to go and serve and sow into things that are going to bring a harvest down the road in the future. Thank you for what you're going to do for each one as you've inspired us today. Bless those that are ready to take steps that they haven't been able or willing to take in the past, Lord. Bless them and give them courage, Lord God, as they serve you today. We pray this by faith in Jesus' name, and amen.